Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So we don't want sin. Even if we want sin, we don't want sin. Because we don't want the deception, the destruction, and the death that it brings in our lives. So how do we fight against it?
Sin brings destruction and devastation. One of the vital lessons that we learn from the letter of Paul to the Galatians is that we cannot combat sin in the flesh by our own power. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit and the freedom that we have in that Spirit that we can be victorious over sin. With more on how we use that freedom, here's Robert Furrow with more from our message in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6.
What does he mean that we are free? It means we're free. You can do anything, but you don't do anything because some things you would do would put you in jail or worse. So you're free, but there's things you don't do. And so what restrictions do you put on your freedom? And some people don't care about jail, it seems. They go to jail because they do something that puts them in jail. But we have freedom in Christ to be able to use our freedom for Him. So let's consider that. So in John 8:32, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from the grave, free from death, free from sin. And Romans clearly states that. We are free from the bondage of sin. Jesus taught us to pray, "Deliver us from the evil one and lead us not into temptation." So we have power to face temptation and to win. In John 8:36, Jesus said, "Therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you are free indeed." Now you say, well, how does that differ from somebody who doesn't know Christ who's free? Because that person who doesn't know Christ may have freedom to be able to do whatever they want to do here, but they are not free from death. And they are not free from the grave. And they are not free from sin. They are under the bondage of sin, and there's a way that we have freedom, even though we still have our sin nature, and even though the flesh, which the sin nature is called in Galatians, even though the flesh battles against the spirit, and all of us have that struggle. There might be someone you've met who says, "I've learned to not struggle in the flesh before," but he still has a problem, and that's his lying, and that's in his flesh. He still struggles with it. And so he says that when the Son of Man makes you free, you are free indeed. It's like all of the freedoms that you have right now, plus all the freedoms that you gain in Christ. No wonder we are the most free of any man or woman. Let's start by considering a few things about sin. And I think that this is important because if we're going to live a life that's pleasing towards Him, it means that we're going to get rid of certain sins. It means we're going to be gaining victory over sin. But that's a struggle. And we all know that. And I want to talk about why you don't want sin. You don't want sin. Now, some of you might be here planning on going and sinning after church. I don't know why you would do that after communion. I don't know why you would do it after a Bible study, but you're like, "I'm going to go do that after church today." And you say, "I want to sin." No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. You really don't want to. Because sin, it has something inherent that makes it sin. God didn't go, "I'm going to make that off limits." I heard someone say one time, "God made whatever is fun sin." I don't think He did that. That's not what God was doing. That's fun, that's sin. That's fun, that's sin. That's fun, that's sin. Let's just go ahead. Make life a real drag for all the Christians that are out there. In every sin, there's something inherent that makes it sin. You can see that clearly in something like stealing. Stealing is a sin because you're taking something that belongs to someone else. You can see it clearly in bearing false witness. When you slander someone, you hurt them, it's inherently wrong. That line might be blurred with other sins. You might find a sin that you say, "I'm not hurting anybody but myself in this," but inherent in the action is sin. Now, there is something in the Bible called trespasses. And a trespass is just like trespassing. There's nothing inherently wrong with going through someone's property. You could go through it and not hurt it. You're just trespassing. But because there's a rule not to trespass, now you've broken that. In trespasses, there wasn't anything inherently wrong. In sin, there is something inherently wrong. I use the example of having coffee in the sanctuary. We don't allow coffee in the sanctuary because our maintenance team has found big stains of coffee all over our carpet. And so at some point, someone made the rule. It wasn't me, by the way. But someone made the rule, no more coffee in the sanctuary. But some of you guys stand at the door and go, I want my coffee in the sanctuary. And that's a dumb rule because I'm not going to spill it. I'm not going to be like the other guy that spilt it. I'm not going to spill it. And so you sneak it in and you sneak it out. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. There's nothing inherently wrong with bringing coffee in here. Now, you might say it's a little rebellion. You might be able to kind of tie that in a little bit. But we're talking about sin. So in the New Testament, you find very few, if any, passages that talk about transgressions. They are outright sins that are inherently wrong. Now, what do these inherently wrong things do to us? First of all, they are deceptive. Sin is deceptive. You are deceived by it. When you go, I want this sin, you are deceived by it. Do you want to be purposely deceived? What if somebody came and offered you a certain amount of money for your house? They offered you this great deal for your house, but somebody came to you and said, you're being deceived. They're taking advantage of you. You're not going to get what you think you're going to get. Can you imagine you going, I don't care if I'm deceived. I'm going to do it anyway. Now, greed may kick in, and greed's one of those inherent sins, right? But greed may kick in and you may go, well, I'm going to do it anyway because it's a lot of money I'm going to get. But you're still deceived. You don't want to be deceived. That's why I say one of the reasons I say you don't want to sin, because you don't want to be deceived. Sin is deceptive. Listen to Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Not only is it deceitful, but it hardens you. There's something about just pushing back against it and allowing the deception to set in and say, no, I think this is good. And I have seen every sin justified over the years, every single sin. I had a guy who used to come up and argue with me 30 years ago that fornication was okay. It was never forbidden in the Bible. That adultery was, but fornication wasn't. And I would show him, it's like I would go and get another passage and show him and do another passage and show him. He'd argue with me all along. It's clear that the Bible says, let not sexual immorality be named among you. His line to me, well, fornication isn't sexual immorality. At that point, you realize you, my friend, are deceived. And no matter what I can show you, you're going to find a loophole. You're going to try to add a loophole to it. And I just encourage you, if you're doing that, to stop. It's obvious. Don't be deceived. James 1, 16 and 17, after talking about sin, we sin when we're enticed and sin brings forth death. And then it says this, do not be deceived. My brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadows. Everything you need is good and comes from God. Sin is deceptive and hardens your heart. The second thing that sin does is it brings destruction. That inherent sin has something inherent in it that's going to bring destruction into your life. If you slander, it's going to destroy relationships. There's destruction. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 13:6. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Some translations say, but wickedness brings self-destruction. It overthrows the sinner. Galatians 6:8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit everlasting life. So from the flesh you reap corruption. Sin brings deception, or sin is deceptive, and it brings destruction. The final thing that happens is that it brings death. The end result is death. Deception, destruction, and death. And it doesn't mean the death of the person all the time. It means the death of relationships or the death of something in your life. That's what sin brings about. It's the death of something. And the Bible says in James 1, 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has been conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So we don't want sin. Even if we want sin, we don't want sin. Because we don't want the deception, the destruction, and the death that it brings in our lives. So how do we fight against it? Well, first of all, the Spirit brings freedom. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, where he develops the theme of freedom, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we have liberty in Christ. It's funny how legalistic people like to get and brag about it. I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. But there's freedom in Christ. It's not all these rules, it's freedom. So how do you use your freedom? Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I do not want to be brought under the power of any of them. So if we have all of this freedom, the things that are not helpful are the things that we don't want to do. So we want to ask those questions. I have freedom. It's not a matter of law. You know, you can't dance, you can't, you know, whatever. It's a matter of that's not helpful to me. And I want to do things that are helpful. If you are doing things that are helpful today, it's going to be helpful for you tomorrow. And if you're doing things that are helpful for you tomorrow, it's going to be helpful for you the next day. And it's going to be helpful for you when you're tempted. What happens is we kind of just go our merry way. We might even use our freedom to enhance the flesh. And then when the temptation hits, we're struck by it. And we feel like it's so strong, I can't but help but give in. But if we use the freedom that we have to prepare for that, to do things that are helpful today, it might not strike us as hard. God may deliver us from that temptation. In 1 Corinthians 12:23, just a few chapters later, he says again, he's back to his little mantra, all things are lawful for me. It's a pretty good statement. All things are lawful for me. But then he says, not all things are helpful. Same thing he said earlier, all things are lawful for me. Here's the change, but not all things edify. So we want to do things daily that edify us. Tomorrow, what kind of things are you going to do? We can do neutral things. It's not sin to do neutral things. You might have drove over here tonight listening to country western music. And only about, I don't know, 10% of those songs are edifying. I'm not saying it's sin. I'm just saying there's God songs in country western music. There's patriotic songs in country western music. Then there's cheating songs and drinking songs, right? So I'm not saying it's sinful. I'm just saying it's not all edifying. Now, for me, that's not what I listen to. For me, I'm stuck in the 70s. I put on the 70s rock. But I tell you what, only about, I don't know how much of those are edifying. I don't know. But I find myself listening to, you know, Billy Joel's The Piano Man. Oh, yeah, it's pretty much a drunk song. Change it. And then, you know, I don't know. Some other, I don't even want to name the songs that come on. And you're like, oh, boy. So we want to do things that are edifying. So when I'm driving, and I live a long ways away from both campuses. I live in Oro Valley. When I married Kathy, her children were close by there. And I just said, let's just keep you close by your kids. She lived up there. Let's keep you close by your kids. I lived kind of far anyway. I lived on Oracle and Ina before I met Kathy. So I didn't live in Oro Valley, but close. And so I do a lot of driving. That's the point. So when I drive, I try to do things that are edifying. I try to redeem the time. I listen to podcasts like Bible Project, which I really like Bible Thinker is another one I really like. There are some other ones, maybe Christian music. I try to listen to something that's going to edify me because I want to. I'm constantly want to learn more. I'm listening to things on topics I'm interested in because I want to learn more things. When you hear me go off on a rabbit trail in church, it's probably because I'm studying something that's not in the text, but I'm studying it, and I want to share with you guys what I learned. We should redeem the time. We want to do things that are edifying. And if we can do things that are edifying today, we'll be more prepared to face the temptations tomorrow. When the temptation comes because we've been edified, we'll be more prepared to face it. So the next is that we do not sow to the flesh. And this is Galatians 5:13. This is just a little bit later on. It talks about liberty as well. Listen to what it says. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now, we know it's going to say, if you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you reap corruption. We read that earlier. But here it says, don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, that you would feed your flesh. So you have a spirit and you've got your flesh. And Galatians is going to tell us the flesh battles against the spirit and the spirit battles against the flesh. So which one did you feed today? Which one is going to be stronger tomorrow? Is your flesh pretty strong because you feed your flesh? You know, the Old Testament passage, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He's not telling you he's going to give you ungodly desires. He's saying if you delight in God, your desires will become godly and he'll give them to you. So do you delight in the flesh? Do you delight in the things of the world? Are you delighting in those? And then reaping from the flesh what comes from the crop that you've sown. You are called to liberty, but don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And this is the last one. Do not use your liberty as an occasion to sin. The King James sounds very archaic here, but other versions say it a little differently. 1 Peter 2:16 says, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. That's the archaic sounding. You don't use it as a cloak for vice. Other versions say an occasion for sin. That's the idea. That you don't use your liberty, you're free, but don't use your liberty as an occasion for sin, but as a bondservant to God. Notice the verse before it said, don't give opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. So that's service. And then this one says, not to use it as a cloak for vice, but as a bondservant of God. So you serve God. One of the ways that we don't sow to the Spirit is we serve God and we serve others. One of the ways we keep the law without keeping the law is by loving one another. If we love one another, we fulfill all of the law. Now, I want to end with this principle. I was told this principle by a friend who still attends the church. When I was younger, I never hunted. I was 35 years old, I'd never hunted. And so he taught me how to hunt, taught me how to archery hunt, taught me how to hunt. And so he had a saying to try to keep me sharp. He wanted me to prepare before I got out in the field. He was like, if you don't shoot your rifle, if you don't shoot your bow, then you're not going to be successful when you get out here, so you need to prepare. So here was the saying, don't forget your five P's. He would drill it into my head. I'd be leaving the car, don't forget your five P's. Here's the five P's. You guys know them? Know what they are? All right, here it is. You ready? Proper preparation prevents poor performance. That's the five P's. He's like, don't take a gun out in the field to wound some poor deer instead of kill it. Shoot your bow. Make sure you know what it's doing and how it's dialed in. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. And I think the same thing is true with us when it comes to temptation tomorrow. Now we need to pray. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. But we know the temptation is going to come. And proper preparation prevents poor performance. I want to be able to face that temptation and walk away with it because God has given me that power, because I have done with my freedom what I should do with my freedom. May God give us the wisdom, because that's what this is, the wisdom. You know, you have wisdom to use your money. You have wisdom to use your resources. You have wisdom in your relationships. Have wisdom in your freedom, that you use it in such a way that you're ready to face things in the future, whatever that might be. It might not be temptation. It might be difficulty. But whatever it is, you use your freedom today wisely. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the richness that we find here. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand the freedom that we have in Christ. We of all people are the most free. But let's use our liberty, not as an occasion for the flesh, but instead for you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. And if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your life, or you invited him in your life at some point, but you never really followed through, or maybe you did for a while, but you walked away and you know you need to say, I want you in my life. We learned today that if you are in Christ, you are the most free. You are free from the grave. You will be resurrected. You are free from death. You are free from the law. You are free from judgment on top of all the other liberties that you have. And if you've never come to Christ, then you don't have that freedom from death. You don't have that eternity that Troy was talking about when he was doing communion, which is not just the length of days, by the way. It's a quality of life. Eternal life is a quality of life. So if you're here today and you would like to receive Jesus, the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. You become God's child when you believe in his name and start to live for him. So if you would like to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand. You're like the thief on the cross saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Except you've got a little bit more time to live than that guy did. So raise your hand now. Say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. God bless you, ma'am. That's great. Anybody else? All right. I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the power of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, we have a new believers table that's out in the foyer, a new believers team that's here. These guys that are great, we got some resources we want to give you. It's important to tell someone, I gave my life to Christ. All right, so stop by the table there. And I want to pray for you. I like to pray for you about what we've been studying on. And since we've been talking about using our liberty, our freedom in Christ wisely, that's what I want to pray about. But like I've been doing lately, I'm going to include myself in the prayer, because I need to use the freedom that I have in Christ wisely as well. We all do, right? So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands, and I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for all of us here. Lord, what a great thing that you've given us so much liberty. Liberty now and in the future, freedom in eternity with you, and freedom now, and that we can make so many decisions. Help us to make good decisions that help to edify us, because we don't want to be deceived by sin. We don't want the destruction that comes from sin. And we certainly don't want the things in our lives to die because we've allowed sin to become full grown in our lives. And so help us that we could live a life where we really are wise with our freedom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I want to bless you before I go. And a blessing is a spoken prayer. And it's just like a God bless you or blessings. You're asking God to bless them. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And may he allow you great wisdom. How many good things happen in our life if we're wise? And may God allow you wisdom to use the freedom you have as the most free on this earth. We as Christians, the most free for good things that bring about good things in your life.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.